will you do when the sea comes back? What if there's nowhere you're moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, hosted by Vance Pollock.
Vance Pollock. Vance Pollock.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. Here's one that's right up our alley. Kindergarten teacher put on leave for using Ouija board in class. The complaining parent says her son is having nightmares. A Milwaukee kindergarten teacher has been placed on leave after she reportedly used a Ouija board in her classroom as a teaching aid. Of course, a Milwaukee public schools removed the unidentified teacher from her classroom Tuesday night after a parent complained. The teacher used the board as a prop while telling a scary story. The complaining mother, who also was not identified, told the station her 5-year-old son has been having nightmares since then.
He's scared now to go to bed at night, to be in the dark, anything alone, she said.
Nice boy.
The mother complained to the teacher, who explained how she had used the Ouija board in an email. The kids have been asking for a scary story, and I got the board and moved the planchette to answer some of their questions. They ask about scary characters in movies. I did not say they were spirits. It was all done in fun. I understand your concern. It was silly, and I'm sorry. I will take the board home, and this won't happen again. The teacher added that the Ouija board had been in the class since October, and she had done this before, but was all just good Halloween-type fun. In 2012, a different teacher in Bloomingdale, Florida, got in hot water under similar circumstances. Parents complained that she brought a Ouija board to a reading class as a prop. School district officials said at the time that the teacher has been cautioned to consider this type of reactions the parents might have about what she brings or who she brings, which spirit she brings into the classroom. To be clear, Ouija boards supposedly allow communication with dead spirits, but there's been no evidence proving that, says this report. Rather, some investigators believe using a Ouija board might allow some people to connect with their unconscious mind, according to Smithsonian Magazine. Smithsonian. It's not Smithsonian, is it? Is that kind of one of those
That's the,
things like
the stoner saying, version. That's the high
Smithsonian. Going to the Smithsonian.
Dude.
That's like the High Times for highbrow.
That's a good tag. High Times for highbrows.
Smithsonian Magazine. Yeah, the Smithsonian Magazine says that people connect with their unconscious mind using a Ouija board. Anyway, I don't know. I don't see that there should be a problem with a Ouija board in the classroom. Is there some etiquette about educating?
I would disagree. I wouldn't. I mean, to me, you know how I feel about the dark spirits,
right?
That whole world. Not a fan. I say just let's. I'm not going to mess with them. But it's almost in a way. It's like kind of like religion.
I think that's where it really crosses the line. Is some people think it's the devil's business. I mean, I guess they would probably get the same reaction for reading the Satanic Bible in classroom, probably from the same people. Anyway, the Ouija board in the classroom. What do you think, folks? I'm all for it. Ouija boards as a teaching aid. UFO sightings have reached an all-time high. Short one here. Statistician and PhD candidate Sam Montfort compiled all the data from the National UFO Reporting Center and found that more people than ever have spotted UFOs in recent years. The number, which has been rising since the 1980s, hit an all-time high in 2010 with about 45,000 yearly sightings. Right now, this will be a record-breaking year. Sightings between 1990 and 2000 rose dramatically by nearly 30,000 yearly sightings. The data also shows that USA has the most sightings by far, at almost 300 times greater than the global median. But these sightings are no longer all about UFOs. Instead, according to Montford, lights are now most popular way these sightings are made. Other sightings may take the flying saucer into second place. Lights, okay, I get that now. That my brain was a little muddled with that statement. Lights are now the most popular way these sightings take place, with saucer flying into second place.
I was reading a book on the Bermuda Triangle recently, and they were talking about sightings near water sources. A lot of sightings are near bodies of water, whether it be in the Bermuda Triangle or like Lake Okeechobee. One of the theories being that these machines, these saucers, unidentified flying objects, might be powered by hydrogen, and they're sucking up, because there's been a lot of sightings like with some sort of sucking tube that pulls up water.
Okay.
So it could be a fuel source. Just a thought.
Interesting. Yeah. And not particularly what they call USOs, the unidentified submerged objects, where it's reported that craft are seen moving under the water, or
yeah, like 130 miles an hour,
or into the water. But I know what you're referring to is reports of these craft, beaming something up out of the water, and that would be reasonable if they were just refueling. Fascinating. You are listening to Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, Asheville. Wright's Coin Shop, for all your gold and silver needs. I think of it as a strict coin sort of place, to go there and appreciate the art, the design, and it really, the showroom there really is great for that. It's like a little museum. It's one of the nicest museums in the Asheville area on that account. But more commonly, you've got people who are just coming in there to sell, and they're always looking to buy. So if you've got a box of coins that you may not have any clue what they're worth, but Wright's have been in business here in the Asheville area for over 40 years, and they will give you a fair deal. They will give you fair market on your coins. So bring them in there and let them look them over. Estimates, things like that, no obligation, but get to know the folks at Wright's Coin Shop. The number down there, 828-298-5402, 298-5402. And generally, at this point, we would
hear the voice of Shelley Wright jumping in saying, "Oh, we are so busy right now."
But Shelley is so busy right now hunting ghosties. She is in the field. You know that line about we don't just talk about it, we go into the field to investigate it? Proof positive tonight, Shelley Wright on the line, not this moment, but in the next segment. Let's try and get Shelley on the line to talk about her tour of the south of the Delta. She's still
down in New Orleans?
She's in Gulfport, Mississippi right now, I believe, but she's been in New Orleans. She's been at Myrtle's Plantation. I think they did an investigation in Alabama. So, she's loving it. She sent me a photo from the balcony of the hotel. She's in beautiful ocean side view. I think that's in Gulfport. But Miss Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright from the field, coming up tonight on Speaking of Strange. What else do we have in store for you? Oh, I have a whole pile of goodness. The research team has provided us with so much killer content, and those behind the scenes have declared some of the best Dark 30 material in years on tonight's Speaking of Strange. So stay tuned for Hour 3. That's the Dark 30, if you're into that sort of thing. If you're not, if you're a little squeamish, if you're easily offended, take the first 2 hours to heart and tune out. But that's coming up. Second hour, feature hour. I'm going to tease this a little bit. Potentially, JPW, the man himself, Do you know who that is? JPW Joshua P. Warren checking in from Puerto Rico during our second hour, feature hour. And we've got a couple segments to fill there. And I might go a little literature, a little literary on you the second hour, because I've got some rare books, books that seldom leave my own vault. But these are Asheville publications from the mid-1930s that presage a lot of metaphysical ideas that are common even today. You think about spirits on other planets and that whole sort of Martian invasion sort of thing that didn't really coalesce until after World War II. Well, there was a lady here in Asheville in the mid-30s who was channeling messages that relayed information about, oh, wow, so many bizarre things. And I might read you a few passages. A little dry, but here's words supposedly from ascended masters, from wiser ones than us, about spirits in space, nature, coming cataclysm in the form of Mother Nature, planet Earth, taking back what's hers because mankind has been so greedy and abusive that she's just going to, God's broom is going to straighten things out. And don't worry for the Earth, worry for the people that have damaged the environment. So sort of a green spiritualism. It's kind of bears on Christian mysticism. In those days, no matter how outlandish the ideas, as long as you could work Jesus into the picture a little bit, it was a little more palatable.
Like, give an example.
Well, if you
Jesus,
say
Jesus improv.
Well, in the words of the ascended master Ambrose, who communicated this information through the channel Enola, he would say something like, it is the will of Jesus Christ that we should take care of the earth and respect the spirits and attain to greater things.
It always blew my mind why people wouldn't be more like, so it seems like some groups of people are very anti-earth, you know, like climate change or taking care of the earth. And it's like, the Lord gave us the earth. We should take care of it, you know, like, it makes
right.
sense.
It's a fascinating study. We'll get into second hour, the feature hour, metaphysical literature of the golden era here in Asheville, North Carolina, in addition to Shelley Wright and Joshua P. Warren over the phone line. So stay tuned. Tonight's going to be a good one. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollack. in the studio with Sam the Animal Steel producing, and on the line, the lovely Miss Shelley Wright from Gulf Breeze, Florida. How are you, Shelley?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm excellent.
Just sad that you're not here, Shelley.
we do.
I miss you guys.
We do miss you. And here's the thing. This, you mentioned one other time that you were on Speaking of Strange by phone, but in all the years, this is maybe the second time that you've been a phone-in guest on Speaking of Strange, so it's kind of special.
It is. I'm very excited about it.
Before you left Asheville a week or so back, we knew one primary destination. That was New Orleans. But there's been a whole lot more coming and going in between. You're basically on a tour of the Deep South, aren't you?
A haunted tour of the Deep South. Exactly.
Oh, wow. Gulf Breeze, Florida, I was saying, and I don't have all the information at my fingertips, but I think Gulf Breeze, Florida was the site of many UFO abduction tales and sightings and things like that some years ago. I think that's a UFO hotspot, and you've got a beautiful view on the beach. You sent me a photograph that made me a little jealous because it's been cold and windy up here, and there's a picture of the beautiful ocean blue. You're looking out at the Gulf and all that white sand and just kicking up your heels down there. So, chalk one up for Shelley Wright making us all jealous by being down there on the beach looking for UFOs. And I warned her as we got her on the line during the break, don't get abducted, Shelley.
Oh, yes, I will be sure not to get abducted because I've got too much to tell everybody about. I can't get abducted. That's for Joshua. Let's let him get abducted.
Investigator Shelley Wright is joined by our friend Demented Patty on this sojourn. And you gals are having a great time, right?
We are having a great time. And tonight will probably be the best night's sleep that we've had since we began our little paranormal journey about a week ago. She had a great deal of adventure. Well, we've all had great adventures, but we've also had very little sleep because of these wonderful adventures.
Right. Sometimes you have to forgo sleep in the name of paranormal investigations. You gotta drink it all in. Shelley, of course, New Orleans, your first time there, what was your impression?
I loved it. It was beautiful. The architecture, the hospitality of the people there, this incredible, vibrant atmosphere, all the voodoo shops, and staying in our haunted historic hotel. It was wonderful. And you could go to just go a few steps to the corner of where our hotel was and see the this like what was it? It was like a cathedral. It was this building where the casket girls were. The Ursuline Convent, which it's a scary story. We didn't get to go in or anything. She just was like, this is where the casket girls went. And we didn't get to explore anything. We went in the other direction towards, you know, where the party was and the hurricanes and the voodoo shops. But everywhere you go, you see, it's like Asheville, everywhere you look, there's some historic place and scary happening and haunted event. It's full of life there.
SOS listeners know that you're a psychic sensitive. Some go so far as to call you a medium. I'll go that far. Were you feeling some energy as you strolled around New Orleans?
I was. You could definitely feel it, and in certain places more than others. I would say that when we went into our hotel, we stayed at the Hotel Provincial in New Orleans, and the whole hotel wasn't talked about as being haunted, but everybody kept saying Building 5. Now, we were already in Building 5 for a while before we were told that, and when we first got there, Patty had a suite, and hers was ready. My room wasn't. We went up to her suite. We sat there, and within 5 minutes, she's feeling kind of sick, not feeling good at all, feeling little woozy. I was feeling a little woozy, but I felt enveloped by this cocoon of spiritual energy. But I felt good. I felt protected, and I was happy. Not so much for Patty.
Just goes to show that sometimes this psychic energy can have a different effect on different people. Some people, it makes them downright dizzy or nauseous. But
yes.
You're comfortable with spirit activity. You've been exposed to a lot of it. So maybe you just handled the energy. Maybe it was just a little overwhelming for Patty. What do you say?
I don't know. She's pretty good at handling it. I think it just kind of, it was a room that hit her, I think, especially hard. It was a difficult place to be. She had a lot more that happened, and I had pretty good experiences in my room. It didn't feel like my particular room was haunted, although I felt like I had a hunger. I felt like at times I would be asleep or almost asleep, or and I would feel what felt like arms wrapping around me gently in a little gentle bear hug and kind of rocking me back and forth. So it was very, very positive, but Patty's wasn't so much. She had her bed shaking just almost every night. But, you know, she was a trooper. She hopped up right away. She looked the wire. She looked under the bed. She looked under the mattress. She did everything that a great investigator should to try and find out what's going on. And so it was still kind of a mystery. We had a few, well, she had a few theories. But, she lost a lot of sleep that week. So it's good for her to be in a place where she can get a good night's sleep. And ever since we left there, well, you know, we went to the Myrtles and didn't get any more sleep than we did at the Hotel Provincial.
Wow. Let's see. Are you guys collecting some photos, field recordings, evidence, souvenirs, obviously?
Souvenirs, obviously. It was also a nice little trip for my shop, Nevermore. I was trying to get some great ideas and see what everybody else was doing, and and you know, just that was a wonderful part of it. But yes, we did a seance, and it didn't really yield any results. It was Patty bought a Ouija board, and we sat there with our friend Justin, and we tried to connect with whatever was in there, and we got gibberish, and I felt like we were being played with. So I got a little cranky. I wanted to find out, you know, what this thing's name was, and we weren't getting any kind of response. So I just kind of named it Kitten and Prissy Bunny, just trying to kind of provoke it and see what we could get. Nothing. We even put baby powder on the Ouija board and put the planchette on top that night to see if anything would happen, if it would move. We figured, you know, my taunting it might have, you know, made it angry and might have made things harder for Patty. But actually, it was a kinder, gentler night that night. So maybe I kind of drove something away for a while. I don't know.
Fascinating. Shelley, I can't wait till you get back and we can sit down and talk at length about this. You'll stick around for another segment and chat a little more with us, won't you?
I'll do it.
How about when we come back from the break here in just a little bit, we can get into Myrtle's plantation. We can talk a little bit about here's two words that I don't know if I had ever heard side by side before, but it's provoking. It's a vampire speakeasy. We can talk about Shelley's experiences at the vampire speakeasy. Where was that, Shelley?
That was in New Orleans. It was actually in the oldest bar in New Orleans called Fritzl's. And it was fun. The whole story surrounding that, you're going to love it.
Okay.
It was fun, and it was the perfect way to wrap up our trip.
When we get back from the break, Shelley's going to tell us a little bit more about their visit to Myrtle's Plantation, one of the most haunted locations in the United States, notoriously haunted, legendary site, Myrtle's Plantation. And we'll get the lowdown on vampires at the Vampire Speakeasy. Thanks, Shelley. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange. Good call on the Morrissey Ouija board there, Sam.
Thank you. We were jamming.
I like it when we can get our music on the fly to kind of match what's going on in the segment. And this hour has been filled with talk of Ouija boards. And so, yeah, nice call. Shelley, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Our own investigator, Shelley Wright, even though she's down in Gulf Breeze, Florida, where it's a little warmer than it has been around here, it's less breeze and more like gusts. We've had some winds up here, so you dodged a bullet by being out of town.
Yeah, I told her about the snow that night. I was like...
Yeah, we had probably some of the craziest weather we've had all winter just in the last week or so since you've been gone, Shelley. So need you to come back up here and bring some of that warmth.
I'll bring the warmth, and I brought you guys presents. So we have to get together and talk about everything.
Hopefully Absolutely. Some beignets or chicory as opposed to voodoo dolls.
No voodoo dolls this time, right?
yeah. That would be wrong. Doesn't mean that it brings them back. You know, for me, it's called research.
Research. Okay.
All that shopping that I did, all these places I went, was research.
Research.
The drinking, I have to assume now that there were alcoholic beverages consumed in the name of research.
Yes. In the name of research, yes. Copious amounts of alcohol was consumed.
Did you have some fruity rum drinks in bright colors on in the French Quarter when you were on Bourbon Street?
Yes, we did have some fruity rum drinks. We had hurricanes.
Yeah,
hurricanes are awesome there. Patty kept trying to get me to do the alcohol in the fish bowl, and I just knew that would be very, very bad.
Hurricanes good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
Okay. Well, what are they drinking at a vampire speakeasy these days, Shelley Wright?
Anything fun that has this vampire theme. There was a drink that there was a champagne drink with some kind of absinthe, what do you call it, spirits liqueur in it. It was absinthe. In
Are you a black licorice fan, Shelley?
No.
Oh, that kind of ruins absinthe for you, doesn't it?
The worst sick I ever got was off absinthe, and that was when I graduated from my paranormal course with Joshua. That is what my sort of present was. My graduation drink was absinthe.
Well, I like black jelly beans and white gumdrops, so the whole anise, absinthe, sambuca, that sort of licorice stuff is right up my alley, but I can see where it's one of those things that you either love it or hate it. So
yes, I wasn't prepared for the licorice part of it, the smell, the taste, the part where it kicked me on the butt, and I very, very quickly, and that stayed with me all day the next day. Yeah, so, I had maybe a sip here, but the absinthe bar was very, very cool. It was a pirate themed bar, and they had the apparatus and the glasses and the special little spoon with the sugar cube, and it was really fun to watch.
A number of historical American figures have reportedly tipped a few in the old absinthe house in New Orleans. So that is you're walking in the footsteps of historical legends when you stroll down the street in that town. Very nice. What kind of folks did you bump into at the vampire speakeasy?
Well, the bartender was a hoot. He was so much fun. There were people who were there who were kind of playing that role of vampire, and that was kind of fun. We were just there to check it out, but the story behind it was that we didn't know anything about it. We wandered down the street and into the shop called the Boutique du Vampire, and it was a vampire shop, and you could buy all sorts of fun things in there. The lady had vampire teeth, and at the end, as we were making our purchases, she slipped us a piece of paper and said, "Go to this place. This is a vampire speakeasy. It's in the oldest bar in New Orleans called Fritzl's. You can't miss it. Tell the doorman that the vampire sent you." So we were all excited, and we were trying to plan out what we were going to wear. What do you wear? You wear black. We could do that, but as far as like dressing like vampires or anything, we didn't do that. But we got there to the bar, and there was some special group playing, some band that everybody in New Orleans wanted to see. It was 3 and 4 deep in there. There were people waiting. The doorman said, "It's going to be like 20 minutes before you can get in." And then Patty said, "The vampire told us to tell you that the vampire sent us." And he immediately ushered us back to the back.
Wow.
Part of it was that she said, "Now tell them that the vampire sent you, and that he will take you back to a hidden room." So we didn't know what to expect, but we had to go. We had to find out. So that's where we went. We were ushered back to a door that said employees only, and he opened that right up, and there was a long carpeted winding staircase, and we walked up that, and through the doorway there was a sign on this closed, beautiful old door. Turn the key and enter. So you open it up into this whole other world with this old world charm and it's dark, the lighting's perfect, the music is perfect. You have people who, you know, are sort of wearing sort of vampire-type outfits, very Victorian-looking. You have some people that embraced the whole vampire thing, like the Lestat wannabes, and the bartender was wearing a cross around his neck and serving up some delicious cocktails. It just, the whole atmosphere was perfect. It was old. It was beautiful. You had the old world feel, but yet you had modern technology, and it was just the coolest thing ever. The ceiling was amazing. The fireplace, everything in there was amazing. And so we ended up staying a lot longer than we intended to, because our friend Justin actually only wanted to stay just a little while, just to kind of get a taste of it, because he had to leave at 5 the next morning. But he ended up staying much longer and said, you know what, I'll go back home later. This is too much fun.
Sounds great. Now, Shelley, if you were to return from the dead, that is, if you were actually the undead, a vampire or vampire, vampress, what is it, a female vampire, do you think that you could blend in there? Do you think if there were real vampires roaming New Orleans that this would be good cover for them to just kind of get in there amongst all the people who were role-playing and hide out?
I think it would. It was charming. I think so. Yeah.
That would be my thought, that going in a place like that is the place to just blend right in. It's kind of like certain places in Asheville where I can go in there and say, "Hey, I don't feel so weird because look at that guy." And yeah. Check her out. I'm the normal one in the room, the norm.
Where do you do that at?
Anywhere. The auditorium.
Yeah?
Yeah, auditorium. I felt kind of weird in that place. It was a little bit strange.
Played there last night.
Yeah, the bottles full of toenails or whatever like that. It's kind of
John Wayne
strange.
Gacy's basement dirt.
Yeah.
Ed Gein's farm dirt.
Makes me feel very, very much normie.
Did you see the human finger?
No, I haven't been in a long time. But, hey, Shelley, stick with us just a little bit, because I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you to help us carry out the first hour. We're going to get Mr. Warren on the phone next hour. The boss man is going to join us next hour. But I'm going to keep you around because we haven't even really told anything much about Myrtle's plantation. And your arrival there was kind of... the timeline was a little bit strange. You mentioned to me in a text that there had been some tragedy there very recently, and you just came in on the tail of that, right?
Exactly.
So
it was shocking.
So after the break, Miss Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright, will fill us in on what's going on at Myrtle's Plantation these days, one of the most haunted locations in America. Right after the break.
Like birds on a wire, watch as they all fade away. Hovering beacons forged from the fire, or maybe a trick our eyes play.
Welcome back to the final minutes of the first hour of Speaking of Strange with Miss Shelley Wright.
Shelley Sharkey.
Shelley Sharkey. Yeah. Shelley Wright Sharkey. Here Speaking of Strange. We jest. But Myrtle's Plantation, a lot of listeners have heard about it before. Some listeners have heard Joshua P. Warren talk about his experiences there, which were noteworthy.
Very much so.
Shelley, what you told me in the text is that there was a serious fire on the plantation just days before you arrived. So let's start there.
Well, we pull up, and it seemed a lot of workmen were out there, and it was, and New Orleans has been very cold since we've been there, and I think we brought the cold to Florida, but yeah, it just seemed weird. And then we were kind of hungry. We're talking about, oh, well, there's a restaurant, and then quickly it's like, oh, I don't think so. It's boarded up and there's caution tape around it, and it was like a lot of building of gazebos and other things going on. And when we got into the gift shop, which is where you register, they said there had been a fire. And Patty found this article that said that last Wednesday they had a huge fire that consumed the restaurant. It totally gutted the place. Basically, the fire department thinks it's going to have to be bulldozed. It was just one of those things. Luckily, the guest houses that were closest to it, they were fine. The little cottages, they were okay. There was a little bit of smoke damage, a little bit of water damage. It was so much better than what it could have been. It didn't harm the main house or the gift shop. So that was wonderful, but it took about 30 firemen and 2 hours to bring it under control. And what I didn't realize, you see these things on Myrtle's Plantation, and it looks like a huge, huge house and a huge piece of property, but they've kind of carefully edited out a few things because it looks like a little miniature dollhouse model as you're walking around there, because everything is right there close together. So it is amazing that fire didn't spread. It is absolutely amazing. And I was reading on further, and it said that in 2014 there was a huge fire at Myrtle's Plantation, and they almost lost it there at the main house. So it was. Or maybe it was the gift shop. There was an electrical fire, but it's very scary when you have a historic structure like that and you have all that wood. It's very, very scary. But none of the people that were staying there and visiting, nobody was harmed. Everybody was safely taken off the property until the fire was out, and then they were brought back. But scary.
Thankfully, no one injured. Well, how was the energy? We've just got a couple minutes, Shelley. How was the psychic energy at Myrtle's Plantation?
Oh, my gosh. It was so creepy. It was absolutely the creepiest ever. And it was like after it turned dark, you just felt like someone was watching you. Someone was in the room with you, my room, Patty's room, the portraits. And they were like Scooby-Doo portraits where the eyes follow you. And there was one guy in particular, he had these really weird colored eyes, one yellow and one blue. And we noticed that, and then we went out to go forage for food last night, and we saw this cute little white cat, and we're looking at it. I said, Patty, do you see those eyes? They were the same eyes as in the portrait. Light yellow and then a light blue. Same shade. It was creepy. In the exact same eyes. It was just... The whole thing was creepy. We had, I mean, you know, you got a lot of house sounds anyway, especially in a historic place. The walls are paper thin. But, and there was, apparently there was this thing about putting portraits of, like, your dead children up. It was creepy. So I had this portrait of this dead kid on the wall next to me all night long. And
what's different about that?
So you were right at home. Oh my goodness. Shelley, it sounds like you have had a lot of fun on your Deep South Paranormal Tour 2017, and thanks so much for being a live correspondent from the field here on Speaking of Strange. And I'm sure folks are gonna enjoy hearing more when you get back and you can actually sit down in the studio and lock eyes with us and mesmerize us with your tales, because there's so much more to tell, I know, but we got to get Mr. Warren on. Joshua P. Warren coming up next hour. Any parting thoughts in the last few minutes, Shelley?
Oh, just that I can't wait to see you guys. I miss you. I'll bring you presents. I'll bring you more fabulous stories, because the tour isn't over yet. I don't get back till Sunday. That the following Sunday. So I still have many more days to go, and Patty and I have a lot. We have a lot more adventures.
Well, be safe.
Ahead of us. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
We love you, Shelley. Thank you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Speaking of strange...